Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guest today is Pete Braun. Pete is a XAML guy, a gadget guy, and a recent addition to my group, and a fine one, I might add.
Why, thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Pete is in Maryland. That's your home base.
Yep, just outside Washington, D.C.
Yep, and is out here, and since you're here, you're here.
Yeah, you figure out.
Well, that's great.
I'm here anyway.
Yeah, like, come out more often.
Yeah.
The more guests, the better.
Right. We have, VS Live is this week.
Okay.
And, you know, doing a bunch of Windows talks and gadget talks and Windows Plus gadget talks and WPF talks and other stuff. So this fits in really well with
it. Cool. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to play with gadgets.
Yep.
So what is this gadget here?
So I have a robot, because I always have a robot, sitting on the desk here. And it is running the .NET Gadgeteer from GHI Electronics, right? So it's got a little module here that runs .NET code, and it's got Wi-Fi.
Cool.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so what I've done is I've written a Windows 8 XAML app that can talk to this and make it run around, and it doesn't shoot anybody yet or do anything kind of like really interesting. You know, like some folks suggested that I use the screen to send messages to people, so let's have it go down the hall and
there you go.
I guess if you're going to be rude to somebody, the easiest thing is to set a robot to go be rude for you instead of like...
It's more fun than IMing.
Yeah, yes, totally. A really slow IM. And but I was able to control this from Windows 8. And what was really interesting to me was just the mechanisms that we have in C# and XAML to be able to communicate with devices like this and being able to, you know, open sockets over Wi-Fi and do all kinds of really cool things like that.
And are these new capabilities in Windows 8?
Yeah, so if you were a Silverlight developer before, you know, you were limited to a very small number of sockets that you could open, and you couldn't really be a socket server, and I don't believe you could do UDP. I don't remember off the top of my head. But for Windows 8 apps, we have access to TCP streaming sockets, and you can be both a server and a client as long as you've requested the right permissions. So in this case, I'm a server, and I'll explain some of that architecture here in a minute. You can do UDP sockets. I did a really cool app that was able to control a synthesizer using what's something called Open Sound Control, OSC, which is a over UDP protocol, to a small wireless box that was connected to a synth module, all from Windows 8 app, right? So all wireless, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can also use WebSockets and a bunch of other stuff. So really, really good networking support in here.
Sweet.
And I think, you know, if you think about tablets, I mean, this here is a touchscreen, but I do sometimes use it as a really unattractive
heavy
tablet.
It's a very heavy tablet.
A very brickish tablet.
Yes.
You know, nobody's going to, like, win any
This
any
is the
shows.
Lenovo X220 for those...
For those who wish to purchase one of these at home, it's the Lenovo X220.
I actually like it. I like it
a lot. And I find I use the touchscreen on it quite a bit, even though I'm typing. And a lot of times, instead of moving the mouse, I'll just flick up with the screen and do stuff. So it's interesting integration between the two. But if you have like a tablet, right, no keyboard and stuff like that, and you want to control something, and again, I mess around with synthesizers a lot. I say mess around because I have no talent. I don't play synthesizers. I mess around with them. If you want to control one of those, do you really want a wire hanging off that, right?
No.
Do you really want like a 20-foot USB cable while you're up on the stage, like, you know, sit there rocking out with your tablet with a big, long USB cable hanging off of it? That's not really cool. So wireless is getting to be, kind of the mode of operation for those. And then being able to have, you know, endpoints. I'm not suggesting most musicians are going to come up and create one of these, but there are devices that do this, or other PCs that you can connect to, other devices on the network that do the actual controlling. But these are dirt cheap little controllers. It's like $30 for the Wi-Fi end of it. And I have underneath the table here, I've got the router that I'm using to do the communication with them. But it's really not much to get into it. I've seen USB cables that cost almost $30, you know, especially at some of the large retailers where they want to sell you the gold-plated USB cable, like extra megabits of bandwidth, right?
Cool.
So so I thought I'd actually show something here.
Yep.
Instead of yapping the whole time, I do get accused of talking a lot. But this robot here has, like I said, the Gadgeteer application that's running .NET micro framework code. So I wrote C# code here, all in Visual Studio, deployed it to this device over USB, and now it just runs. I'm untethered at this point. It's not...
Okay, but you could be...
I could be tethered via USB.
There it is.
Right? So if I wanted to power this over USB, I could.
Okay.
But instead, I have it untethered, and it's running off 4 AA batteries for the logic, and then I have a 9-volt battery that's running the motors.
Okay.
Okay? So two different sources of power here. And then just because I wanted to drain all the battery as much as possible, I have a big LCD on the front here that's backlit, and it's showing me some information.
Which says that it's a balmy 78 degrees in here?
It does. It says it's 78, but I'm guessing that needs to be scaled up a little bit. I don't know how accurate that is. But the reason that says it's 78 is because just for a random sensor to put on the front, I put a temperature and humidity sensor on the front of this. And I don't know, I haven't tried. If I just sort of hold my hand, the temperature, every 5 seconds I pull this thing to see what the temperature is, and there we go.
All right.
So now it's getting up there.
So it is working.
Yep, so it is actually there.
78 degrees in here.
Yep, so you can use this.
That's good to know.
You know, who wants to do the ear temperature thing with their kids, right? Get a big device and slap it up next to your kid's head, or you can put a screen on it and monitor them all the time, right? Yeah. I built a diaper monitor before.
Because then you could also use it as a tracking device.
Absolutely. There are GPS modules for this. My son is 6. My daughter is 4. Give them 10 years, there will be a tracking device in their vehicle somewhere.
Sure, DCS will be happy to hear about this.
Yes, of course, of course. But, you know, I live outside DC. We're used to being tracked in everything we do. But anyway, so that's a really cool part of this. Let's hop over to the Windows side of things. This is a regular C# app, right? So I'm using XAML for the UI. Mm-hmm. Check this UI out. This is awesome UI design right here. Look at this.
Wow.
I have 4 rectangles for my UI. So I'm sort of going for like the minimalist kind of cool Bauhaus thing right there. Right?
Did you use Blend to design those?
I did actually at first. I was like, I need something that's going to enable me to put 4 rectangles on the screen. So, but I did position them so that if I use this as a tablet, I can do the thumb stuff, right?
Sure.
And really, I should have put the forward and back also up so it would be easier to do that. But I've got it so if I hold this, I can, you know, control this thing with my thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the UI part. Very, very simple. And inside it, I've just got a couple of event handlers. And those event handlers, whenever you press something like pointer pressed here, I'm not using the canceled stuff, but if I do the left touch point, right, and when I'm holding my hand on that rectangle, as soon as that touch point is registered, I'm going to send a message to this device saying, start turning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the release of that, I send it a message saying, stop. So in this way, as long as I'm holding down my finger on that, it's going to stay turning, right? So it made it easier than me trying to figure out, do I want to do 90-degree turns or in increments and buttons and stuff. So that's why I used a rectangle, because I want it to be down and up and whatnot instead of using a button. Now that the robot service is a class right here, which robot service sounds really exciting, but it's really not a whole lot to it. I've got a couple of methods that just send these messages, and I formatted these messages sort of like Open Sound Control, because I really do like that, the way those APIs are structured, where it's kind of like a URL. So I'm sending /robot/move forward, robot move backward, robot move stop, left, right. Eventually I could send it things like...
Are we gonna make it panic?
Yeah, there is robot.panic, which is not anywhere near as exciting as you would think it would, especially since there's no weapons on here. But the panic stop was supposedly like things going out of control, I need to stop it. So it's more
like... So the robot doesn't just get all crazy do flips or anything.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do that now. I'm going to have to change that code. So like random speed and direction and keep switching. Yeah, I think that would be cool. So I send those messages over, and really all that's, and I'll get to the listener here in a second, but sorry to keep scrolling here. Oh, here he is. The send message method, all it does is it takes that string in, gets the stream from the socket, right? Then, opens up a data writer, writes that string to that, sends it out, and we're done.
Okay.
I'm not doing any verification to make sure you got the message back or any kind of, you know, bidirectional stuff. Now, the really interesting part of this are these two blocks of code right here. Through, I did a socket client in Silverlight before, and I really do like working in Silverlight, but sockets in Silverlight was a bear, because first of all, it had to be asynchronous. You had to send out a message first to say, am I allowed to access you had to send it to a certain port, am I allowed to access the sockets here? And then the next step of that, you had to go and actually send the connection request, and then you had to do the individual messages, all asynchronous, right? So lots of send this out, get a call back, do some stuff, send it out, get a... And tracing through all that was it was not fun. Like, once you got it working, it was one of those things, you lock that code in a vault and don't let anybody touch it, because it was really, at least for me, I found it difficult to navigate through. One of the things that you'll see in Windows 8, and really it's a function of the latest version of C#, so we also have some of this in WPF as well, right, is the new async and await keywords. And that, combined with the simplification of the socket API in WinRT, has made it so if I want to be a server, this code that you see right here that all fits on this screen, this is the sum total of a socket listener in a WinRT application. So in this case, I am binding to the port number 5150 here, bonus if you get the reference, and then I'm just sending out some debug messages saying I'm listening on this port, and then if a robot connects to me, all I simply do is send out a welcome message to it, okay, and then I know I can connect. I don't handle reconnection or anything like that yet, but it really it's only a couple more lines of code to do that. So this versus, you know, that right. much code. So I was really, really
So you're
impressed.
Waiting for the robot to connect to you?
Yes.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm doing that, because it does seem sort of backwards, is this little device that I have right here, this is a Wi-Fi shield or a Wi-Fi module by Roving Networks, and it fits the XB form factor, if you're familiar with that, right? There's a driver that's written by one of the folks in the Netduino community. Oh, and it's killing me that I can't think of his name right off the top of my head. I think it was it Stefan? It might be Stefan. In the Netduino community, wrote it in .NET Micro Framework, but he didn't implement the server capability in his code. Hint. So if you're watching this, please put the server capability in your code. So because of that, I can't connect from the PC to here. Instead, what I have to do is when this is powered on, it goes and connects to the PC.
Okay.
And it knows the IP address because I hard-coded it in here, right?
Okay.
So that's sort of a weird thing. And then if I have a little more time, either I'll contribute a patch to update that or they'll get to that themselves. But so it's not a limitation at all of the stuff in Windows. It's, again, just a function of that.
Got it.
And hopefully I've guilt-tripped him enough that he's going to put that in there, because this really is an awesome module. And the rest of the driver he wrote is absolutely stellar, right? And that code I've already written, already deployed it out to the device. Now, if I want to run the Visual Studio app, or excuse me, the Windows 8 app here, excuse me, in Visual Studio, I do that, and then now I know it's running. I'm going to reset this module here, just so you can see it go through the connection process. Initializing Wi-Fi. Getting ready to take over the world. There we go. Gave us the air temperature.
Okay.
That's wonderful. And you see I've got the robot.welcome.
Right.
That was the message that was sent from the Windows 8 app. With just one screen here, I'm not going to be able to show you both of these things at the same time, but let me see if this shows up probably right around here. Let me move backwards, forwards. Let's see, turn.
Cool.
Let me do the panic. There we go.
Is that panicking?
I don't know. That was weird. Okay. Little Wi-Fi noise in here. But anyway, so that's really just, again, this is not connected to the PC in any way.
Yep.
I'm just doing this stuff over Wi-Fi, and I'm able to kind of do whatever I want. Now, if you looked at that, when it went straight, it had a little bit of a cant to it, and that's simply because, I'll tell you, this robot chassis here is only like $14, so the motors are not matched or anything, so you have to compensate for that in code. And I found out after I compensated for it in code that it really depends upon how much juice is in your battery. It'll wind one of them down, like one is more sensitive than the other, or the driver sends it out to something different or whatever. So I think that's a really kind of a cool thing to mess around with here. I mean, there's a lot of automation scenarios that you can do that are really, like if you're on a tablet, it's really great way to control stuff in your house, to, you know, I've seen light dimmers and, you know, things to do temperature in your house and all that kind of stuff that are available on a lot of different phone devices and other things that are using Wi-Fi, and we can do all of that here from Windows 8. Those protocols, all you need to do is, if you know that protocol, you just connect to it and you can send whatever messages you need. So again, musician stuff, device control. One of the really cool things I've been looking into is a lot of musicians, again, use these really large mixers on stage.
Yeah.
And they walk around with tablets, and those tablets are connecting back to it. And he'll walk right up to the musician, right up to where their mic is, and he'll say, okay, talk into the mic, and he'll check the levels right there on the tablet and check it out, and he'll adjust them right there on the tablet, and meanwhile it's automating the mixer that's over back behind stage. Totally possible to do with this, and as you saw, it's really, really simple to do.
Cool. So what about the code on the robot?
So there is C# code on the robot. Right now you need to use Visual Studio 2010 for that. Mm-hmm. So it's good. So I keep both of them around here. So let me pull up this Arduino robot test. And it's just the .NET Micro Framework stuff hasn't caught up here. And I should mention that this is really, .NET Micro Framework is one of our open source successes. .NET Micro Framework 4.2, it was something like 40% community contributed. You know, we manage it and we run it and we provide the tooling and stuff for it, but it's a CodePlex project that we accept contributions for. GHI is one of the vendors here, they've contributed to it. Mm-hmm. Chris Walker at Secret Labs and NetDuino guys, they have contributed to it, and there's other people in the community have. So really, I love the collaboration of that and how everybody's able to contribute there. So the client-side code is really very simple. I've got a couple extra libraries here because I was trying to figure out if I could possibly make a server or a Wi-Fi server there. Okay. I just didn't get that far. But I'll pull up the Gadgeteer project. You see we have a visual designer here. This mm-hmm. is the main board that I'm using. I'm using a GHI motor controller here. Again, very cool stuff. And really, the API for this motor controller is move a motor and then a number from 1 to 100, or from minus 100 to positive 100, and that tells you how fast to go and in what direction. So, like, to move left, I'll turn one motor positive 100, the other motor, opposite, right, left, whatever, one of those. I'll turn one of them one way and one the other, and it'll do sort of a tank turn, sure. right? You know, and then to go forward, you do the opposite thing. Then I have a display hooked up, and the display, really, the module itself is just this pin header. Mm-hmm. Then I have the temperature and humidity device on there as well. And by having these on the design surface, it automatically wires up the stuff behind the scenes so it knows socket 3 has my temperature and humidity, okay. socket 1 has motor. And then when I say motor dot, I believe it's like left or motor 1 dot turn or something. Here, let me pull it up. So I say motor.move motor, and I tell it which motor it is, and I've got that scaling factor I told you by on to account for one motor running faster than the other. So again, very cool stuff.
Very straightforward.
And you deploy this over USB, and one thing that we can do with .NET Micro Framework that really none of the other microcontroller vendors have really done really well without a lot of expensive external hardware is when I run this, I could step through the code right from Visual Studio while it's running on the device.
Nice.
Right, so it's all integrated mm-hmm. directly into our debugging pipeline, right into the deployment pipeline and everything else. Great stuff. And then if you're a C# developer or Visual Basic, the latest version, .NET 4, Micro Framework 4.2 supports Visual Basic as mm-hmm. well. This is a really fun way for you to go in and kind of extend your skills. I mean, you're writing for a device that has memory measured in kilobytes as opposed to gigabytes, and processing speed is, 70, or actually this one might be 120 megahertz or something like that. But again, you're not going to load up a giant lookup table in here like you might on a desktop. So it's a totally different style of programming and really a good way to kind of test your skills while making it easy for you to get into this. Like, a lot of folks want to do C on microcontrollers. But if you're a .NET developer, you get home, kids are in bed, everything's done, you have your little bit of free time. Mm-hmm. Some people, yes, you want to go learn C, but other people want to just build a cool robot. And it's really great that you can just go and not have all the additional overhead of having to have the old Kernighan and Ritchie book hanging out there so that you can look up the syntax for stuff and everything else.
Cool.
Very cool.
Very cool.
So it's fun stuff.
All right.
Great.
That was awesome. Hope you enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Pete.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.
Thanks.